This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. 10% of female undergraduates in the University of Texas System academic institutions say they've been raped since enrolling. That's according to a survey conducted by the UT system. At the UT Austin campus, 15% of the female undergrad students self-reported to the survey that they were raped. This is just one more strong indicator that Texas has a rape problem. Some are asking the question if Texas lawmakers are even taking this seriously. Here's another indicator that might support that argument. Texas has a backlog of thousands of rape kits that have not been DNA tested. And the state legislature, it's refusing to fully fund the testing that could reveal the identity of these rapists and get them off the street. Instead, the evidence sits in boxes on shelves waiting. State Representative Donna Howard, a Democrat, has filed House Bill 281 that would electronically track these rape kits so they don't get lost. I spoke with Howard about her bill. Why do we have such a backlog of rape kits?
Part of it is because of a lack of resources. And I guess you could say triage and prioritization by law enforcement as to which forensic evidence they ended up testing. The issue with sexual assault is that sometimes the victim actually knows the alleged perpetrator, and when they're triaging, the law enforcement would sometimes put those kits on the back burner because they weren't going to need to use the evidence for identification purposes. Sometimes the victims, as happens more often with sexual assaults, unfortunately, than in other cases, will back out of pursuing the case for a wide variety of reasons. So those kits would be put on hold. When it was discovered that there was this backlog, pretty much at the same time it was being recognized on a national level that we had a DNA database that was becoming more and more robust, and recognizing when some of these backlogged kits were actually tested that there were identifications that matched other criminal activity. It was recognized that there was value in testing these backlog kits simply for the fact that we had more of an opportunity now technologically to make connections to other crimes.
How far back do we have these kits?
The bulk of it really has been more recent years. The legislation that occurred in Texas, I think pretty much the demarcation was prior to 2011. Those were the kits that were really focused on in some previous legislative sessions to make sure that we appropriated some funding to decrease that backlog. And then there were new rules put into place for kits to be examined within a period of time that happened after that. But really, a lot of it in terms of where we are right now has had to do with funding. And Houston was able to secure some federal grants. Austin has secured some federal grants. This is the way that that it's being addressed more now. There has not been sufficient appropriation from the state to keep up with it. We do have in the House budget, the supplemental budget that we're going to be considering to vote out of Appropriations Committee next week. A part of that budget will include some, about $4.5 million to continue to address the backlog.
But your bill, HB 281, mm-hmm. is calling for the establishment of a statewide electronic tracking system.
Right.
And it's been comparable to like how Walmart might keep track of its merchandise. I mean, if you can put a barcode on something, you should be able to track where it is, right?
Right. Yes. Well, actually, this came to me for kind of a different reason than maybe some were thinking, although it all kind of works together. Let me explain. I had a constituent who was a sexual assault survivor who visited with me over the interim about her frustration in working with law enforcement to find out where her kit was in the process. The evidence is collected, several-hour exam that's very invasive. There is an actual kit that has evidence, but it's beyond a kit. There's additional forensic evidence that could include clothing, bedding, that sort of thing, that's also packaged up and is part of this person's evidence in their case. It's collected in a designated facility, whether it's a hospital or a place like a safe place where the exam is done. It is picked up by law enforcement. It is taken to a lab. The lab then does the examination, and then it can be stored or at some point disposed of. So all along the way, there's potential for evidence not being tracked appropriately, lost, if you will. Houston's been working on a project, a tracking system where you use the RFID system, just like if you ordered something from Amazon and you had a way you could log in and find out where that package is in its delivery. This would be a system that would allow the healthcare provider, law enforcement, to keep track of where the forensic evidence is in the process at any time, and would also allow access from the victim to know where the evidence is in the process. And though it doesn't directly relate in speeding up what happens here, it does impact everybody's accountability. But the main reason this constituent came to me was, like many survivors of an assault, a sexual assault, that is one of the most horrific kind of assaults. It takes away your control of your own body. And one of the things that advocates will talk about is helping victims regain some sense of control over themselves and what's happening here. This is one way to allow the survivor to have some control of at least knowing where their evidence is and being able to follow up at any time they want to about this. And quite frankly, law enforcement and healthcare providers are saying it will help them with the accountability and transparency of making sure that the evidence gets where it needs to go so that justice can be had, and if there's a way to prevent future assaults from happening, that is also a benefit of this.
That is State Representative Donna Howard, a Democrat, who is working to create a law that would track thousands of rape kits in Texas waiting to be tested. But why is Texas taking so long to test these boxes and boxes of genetic evidence? The state says it's in a budget crunch, can't afford to do the testing. So State Representative Victoria Nyave, a Democrat, filed House Bill 1729. That would raise money from donations for the testing. I spoke with Nyave about that bill. Tell me about this proposal to crowdfund these rape kits.
We created House Bill 1729 because we wanted to bring attention to, one, the high numbers of sexual assaults in our state, but also the thousands of untested rape kits. And we know that when women are victims of sexual assault, a lot of them don't even report the crime. So when they get to the point of actually reporting the crime and then submitting to an invasive 4 to 6 hour sexual assault exam, and then to have those kits sit there untested is unacceptable. So the cost is often cited as a reason for the backlog of untested rape kits. So we created House Bill 1729 to come up with a funding source, an additional funding source to eliminate the backlog.
So where would this funding source come from?
The funding source would come from really the hearts and compassion of Texans all across our state who go apply for or renew their driver's license. There would be a box that they could check where they could donate a dollar or any amount that they want that would go towards the testing of evidence in sexual assault cases.
So this is not a unique process when you go to the DMV and do your driver's license. There are other boxes that are asking you to do the same things. I think there's a veterans fund and there's a couple more that I can recall.
That's correct. And so we saw that it worked in other situations like the veterans program. And so the Legislative Budget Board came back with an analysis and estimates that our bill would generate about $1 million in revenue, which could go a really, really long way to bring justice to women and victims all across our state.
Now, there are some folks who say this is not a luxury. This is something that should happen. These women were sexually assaulted. Why doesn't the state just pay for it?
Absolutely. I agree with that. And our state should be paying for it and is allocating a certain amount of funding, but it's not enough. And the rape kits range in cost from $500 to $2,000 per kit, depending on how much DNA evidence. And so it's not inexpensive. And so this should be a priority. And so we wanted to come up with a solution to bring in additional revenue to fund this issue. You know, sexual assaults happen every single day. And I just really believe with the help of our fellow citizens here in Texas, I would love to get to the point where we don't have to, that our state fully funds the backlog.
The optimum way would be have the state, there's a reason why we want to test these rape kits. We want to find who these rapists are.
We would love for the state to fully fund it. The Appropriations Committee allocated in the budget $4.2 million this year, but that's not enough. And so we need more than that. You know, this bill would help bring in additional revenue to address the issue. So we're doing what we can to fight for women and so that they can have the justice that they deserve.
State Representative Victoria Nyave is a Democrat looking to find money to test the backlog of rape kits in Texas. She wants to establish a way for people to donate a dollar when they get a state driver's license that would add to the fund. She says it would mount up to about $1 million a year. Would you check that box and give that dollar, or do you think Texas lawmakers should fully fund the testing and speed up the DNA analysis? Is this donation method enabling state lawmakers to dodge their responsibility? We'd like to hear what you think. Give us a call. We're going to continue this conversation throughout the hour. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet us at @tprsource. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. There were 8,952 reports of forcible rape in Texas in 2015. That's according to the FBI's Uniform Crime Report. We do know that rape is underreported nationwide. In a rape investigation, there's typically a collection of biological evidence that's frequently called a rape kit. Texas has a backlog of thousands of these boxes containing that evidence. What needs to happen to get these kits tested and then track down these rapists? Earlier this month, a Dallas man was the first to be identified and convicted as a result of the Dallas Police Department's cold case rape kit testing program. It was for a 2009 rape that came to the attention of investigators when last year they began testing old kits. They linked Joseph Beatty to five rapes dating back to 2008. So we do know that the testing of these old rape kits will result in justice. So what do you think? Should the state of Texas fully fund the testing of this backlog of rape kits, or should a fundraising effort be used and otherwise to find this money? Lots of ways for you to get into our conversation. You can give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. You can email questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at @tprsource. With me in the studio now to talk more about the situation here in San Antonio, Dina Franks. She's the Deputy Director of Programs for the Rape Crisis Center in San Antonio. Dina, welcome to The Source. It's great to have you here.
Great to be back.
So what's the backlog situation here locally with rape kits?
In San Antonio, we've actually done a very good job. We only have a very small amount left over to be tested. And now there's a law that every 30 days they have to be turned over and be tested. So we've done a good job here in Bexar County.
So it's not a huge number of backlog of rape kits. Maybe a few dozen, a backlog, is that what I'm hearing?
Right. There's only a few dozen left, and the way that it's not really considered a backlog because they're at the lab waiting to be processed, so they're not sitting here on a shelf waiting. So that problem has been alleviated.
So we heard from State Representative Donna Howard and her proposal for electronic tracking of these kits, and you deal a lot with people who've been sexually assaulted, and victims do they not know what's happening to their kits?
They actually do not know. So we have survivors calling us wanting to know where their kit is at, and they don't know, and we don't have an answer to give them that this is where it is. So a tracking system, some kind of database, a process would be a great idea, even to be able to go online or even go on an app on your phone and find out where it's at, just like we do with other packages, would be a great idea, very easy to do.
So, and we're talking about sexual assault, rapes, and rapes on campus. We'll get into more of this new study that came from the UT system recently. But there's this other really disturbing case here locally that is rape that happens, allegations of sexual assault on these boys in Lavernia, Texas. I mean, is that something else that, you know, at the Rape Crisis Center in, here in San Antonio, things like that, do they, that cross your path?
Unfortunately, yes. It happens more often than we think. And it just happens to be a news story will pop up and it gets attention, but it happens all the time and we just don't always hear about it.
So with the Rape Crisis Center, and you provide counseling and instruction and try to help people, what needs to happen in communities where, whether it be Baylor University, University of Texas at Austin, or Lavernia down the street, where these things come to light in order to make sure that people can get the help that they need?
Right. If you don't have a rape crisis center in your area, then you can definitely reach out to us in San Antonio, and we'd be more than glad to either connect you to one that's in your area, or if we're close to you, come to your community to help. I think it has to be something we're comfortable talking about. It's not a comfortable topic, but if we don't talk about it, we're not going to do anything about it. We're not going to fix it. It's just going to continue, and it's just going to keep happening. We have to get to a place where we're comfortable having those very difficult conversations.
So we just can't just shut it down, think we can handle this internally. I keep coming back to Lavernia, but this is a statewide problem, and it shows you that it is very complex and hard to pin down on what exactly that we're talking about when we talk about sexual assault. But so far, no one from Lavernia has reached out to the San Antonio Rape Crisis Center looking for help?
Not that I'm aware of. That doesn't mean they couldn't. I'm not sure. But I hope that they would, because these victims need, you know, deserve counseling, and their families too, because it's very upsetting as a family to know that this happened to your child, and to, you need help too. You know, the child would be great to have someone come and talk to, but we see everybody. So even if the main person that was assaulted won't come in, the parents can come, siblings. It affects the whole community. It'd be great to just go there and help speak to the community.
Okay, let's bring in two more voices into our discussion. We have Noelle Bush Armendiaz. She is the director and principal investigator for the Institute on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault at the University of Texas at Austin. And Caitlin Selly, she is the director of the Sexual Assault Research Portfolio and director of strategic partnerships. And Noelle, I want to ask you about this report that came out recently talking about the numbers of women undergraduates at the UT system saying that they were been sexually assaulted. They've been raped, 10% of them across the system, 15% at UT Austin. These are astonishing numbers. Were you surprised by these results?
Thanks for having us from Austin. And we've been listening in on the conversation. Our hearts go out to the victims that you've been talking about. And I appreciate the conversation that says that this issue need to address the microaggressions about these families, but also bring it to this higher level that this is a social problem. Specifically to your question, I've been doing this work for nearly 25 years, and we're not surprised in the sense that about the prevalence rates. We've known what the prevalence about sexual assault has been for a very, very long time, nearly 30 years. The numbers have stayed steady and stagnant. And I think that it's exactly right that we need to talk about this as not a private issue, although it is an incredibly private victimization in that it has private traumas, and people need to be individually counseled and learn their resiliency around it and learn how to cope with it. And they deserve privacy and confidentiality. And yet, as a society, we need to be able to put our arms around the issue and deal with it as a social problem. And I think that we will start to solve the problem when we define it like that and not put the victim and the offender to solving it solely as their own.
Well, that goes to the question about whether or not the state of Texas should be fully funding the testing of these backlog of rape kits when if you are a victim of a sexual assault and you hear that Texas isn't willing to do that, instead they're going to put a little checkbox, maybe, if this gets passed at the DMV. What does that say, do you think, to these people?
Well, we had a four-year funded study by the Institute of Justice in Houston, one of the two in the country, to look at that exact issue. So the first thing I would say is every sexual assault victim deserves justice. And what we found over those 4 years is that justice has to be broadly defined. Sexual assault is an incredibly complex crime. And in the end, the idea of testing kits has to be one accountability in the criminal justice system available to sexual assault victims. The complexity really comes with, and this was evidence grounding, is that we, in this crime, we often know whose DNA is in that kit, because in the study that we released in 2014, we found that in adult sexual assault cases, 34% of the offender was a stranger, which means that most of the time in adult sexual assault cases, this was for women, people are known or related to their offenders. So I would argue, let's hold the complexity of the crime. We need to have kits. They need to be available to victims. We need to collect that forensic evidence, and we need to continue the conversation. The testing needs to be available to victims, and that can't be the end of the conversation. The conversation has to be about how does the criminal justice system, the social service system, how do we spend resources? We spend them in smart ways. How do we support our rape crisis centers? How do we support the law enforcement, who by and large are well-meaning and trying to do their job well and provide services? How do we as a community embrace victims? How do we hold offenders accountable? And how do we acknowledge this incredibly complex, thorny issue that is happening between people that are known and related to? And that includes being able to break the silence about it. In the state of Texas, we estimated 413,000 adult sexual assaults occurring every year. That's part of breaking the silence.
We're going to continue talking about that this afternoon. We're going to go to break, where the conversation is about thousands of rape kits or evidence kits from sexual assaults in Texas. There is a backlog of these kits. We have a state law that requires them to be tested, but there is no money to do that as of yet. We're looking for ways to find these funds. One lawmaker says, why not put a checkbox at the DMV when you go get your driver's license or state ID? You can opt to put in a dollar into that fund. And others say, well, that's letting the state of Texas off the hook and allowing them to shirk its responsibility. Would we do that for other crimes in the state of Texas, ways to solve crimes? Some say we need to treat this like we would any other crime and fully fund the investigation. What do you think? We're going to get to these phone calls and dive back into the conversation. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 210-614-8980. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're going to get back to our conversation about the investigations into rapes in Texas. Thousands of sexual assault victims are waiting for answers. Some Texas lawmakers want to arm them with more information about their cases. At last check, DNA evidence is about, there's about 2,500 cases, rape kit cases. They sit untested, and the majority of these represent sexual assault victims waiting for answers, trying to figure out who was the perpetrator. The backlog began in 2011, a law requiring every kit to be tested, but we don't have the funds for that. We're trying to figure out where that money should come from. Should it come from the state of Texas? Maybe, or should there be some sort of fund, of a charity that's set up to do this? So let's get back to the conversation. If you want to join in, the number is 210-614-8980. Caitlin Sully, the Director of Sexually Assault Research Portfolio and the Director of Strategic Partnerships there, what do you think about who should bear the cost of testing these kits?
It's a good question. I have been involved with talking with survivors about their experiences with their sexual assault kit evidence. And their input and their voices have really helped to shape what our response should be as a state and as a society to help provide counseling and support and information, which is a large part of what we're talking about today. The survivors that I talked to did want to have the information about the sexual assault kits if they could move forward. And so many of those sexual assault kits are still sitting, waiting to be tested in a queue at a crime lab. And Representative Nieves' bill does provide a way for all citizens to contribute to the funding. However, I think we need more.
Is there a concern that if there is a successful fundraising effort to test these kits, and this is going to be an ongoing issue because there's unfortunately always more of these cases, more kits pile up, that if they can find an alternative funding source like the charity and people making donations, then the state lawmakers would just pull back on what they would fund this anyway, or what else would they stop funding? They can figure out, you know, why should we fund other issues in regards to sexual assault? Caitlin?
Yeah, this is Noelle.
Okay.
I would agree with sort of the line of questioning here. We have an economist on our team, on our research team, and so we did look at the cost. We know that the average cost is about $985 per kit. It depends on how complex the DNA is in that kit. And so, you know, there are some real costs. There are emotional costs. But I do think that we need to consider the responsibility that you're asking about, David. Whose responsibility is it? And I think we could talk about that in phases. You know, these kits need to be tested. When we were in Houston for 4 years working with the working group there to look empirically at this issue, quite frankly, the city of Houston decided they were going to test all their kits, and they did. And they had nearly 6,700 kits. And this was as the bill to test all was coming about with the legislature. And so when there is a will and when there is a value that underpins that will, it can be done. So I think that your line of questioning is right to be asked. I don't know that there... You know, when you consider the compensation, crime victims' compensation, it is, I'm not an expert in this area, but my understanding of that fund is that when people commit crimes and those reparations are made, monetary reparations are made, when victims need funds to replace lost wages and other things, we're able to use those funds as a state to repair services for victims. And so I think we need to think creatively about how to pay for untested sexual assault kits that might result in that.
Let's go to the phone lines. Number is 210-614-8980. Chris is on the line. And Chris, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I listened to your show at lunch, and not too long back, you guys had some political leaders on. Y'all were talking about a Texas rainy day fund. I mean, in my opinion, is this not a rainy day item that needs to be handled? Lots of criminals out there that need to be, you know,
gotcha.
Come to... you understand what I'm saying?
Sure. We got a multi-billion-dollar rainy day fund up in Austin, but is it really an issue of not having the cash to do so? In this legislative session, we see a bill that is moving forward quite easily, which is slashing the cost to get a concealed handgun in the state. I think it's costing the license for cost is going to go down from $130 to $10. And this is going to cost the state of Texas $15 million a year in order to provide this new, cheaper concealed handgun license. So evidently, they can find the money for things when they decide that they want the money for things. Noelle.
Well, I think that's right. I think that we need to decide that we are going to address sexual assault and all of the nuances of it as a social problem. The accountability to offenders, how much it costs the state of Texas. We did the cost analysis several years ago. It costs the state of Texas $8 billion a year, and those are the costs that we could get a hold of. And so sexual assault kits is part of the economic impact of this crime. So it would behoove the state of Texas to do something about this crime.
Any reaction to that, Caitlin Sully from the Sexual Assault Research Portfolio?
What we haven't taken time to talk about yet is the cost that you cannot quantify, and that is the emotional cost to survivors and to their families, and those last a lifetime. And when we look practically at how communities can support survivors and support a path to healing. In this specific project that we worked on in Houston, there were many ways that multidisciplinary partners can come together to improve the response to survivors when a crime occurs, to support their emotional needs, to provide them with information about what is happening with their sexual assault kit, and their case, if they make that really difficult to decision to report to law enforcement and to have evidence collected by a sexual assault nurse examiner.
Sure. We'll talk more about that, what it takes to collect this evidence. It is an extensive, it is not a pleasant process, why that's important, that why this evidence gets tested. But also it is a dollars and cents issue and at the state budget. And we'll talk more about that as well. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned. This is Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Thousands of sexual assault victims are waiting for answers about their case. They don't know what happened to their rape kit. We know that thousands of these kits are sitting, waiting to be tested. Why is that? What can be done to speed up the process? Should a fund at the DMV be a way to try to speed this up? We got an email from Giovanna. She says, I would definitely donate a dollar to help fund the backlog of rape kits at the DMV. However, I believe the state government has a duty to properly fund these kits. Another solution would be that the state matches the donations on top of increasing funding. Thank you for that email, Giovanna. Let me ask Dina Franks over at the Rape Crisis Center here in San Antonio, what does it take to put together one of these rape kits?
When a survivor goes to the hospital, it's not a quick process. It's a 3 or 4 hour process of having to tell your story, have it documented, having pictures taken. The nurse has to document every injury. These are specially trained sexual assault nurses who are compassionate and do an amazing job, but it's still invasive. You have strangers asking you what happened, what went where. You know, you have to write it all down. Then you have to have pictures taken of your body, of the injuries, have everything documented, wrapped up in a package. Your clothes could be taken. And to know that you did all that and maybe it's not going to go anywhere is very frustrating. It's a hard process to go through.
So there's swabs that are taken to get the biological evidence?
Yes. Depending on what happened, they'll swab different areas. There could be testing to find out if the person was drugged. There's lots of things that go along with it. And it's a hard thing to go through.
And they go through this thinking that this is how they're going to be able to catch the guy, right?
Right. That is what they think. They think, you know, justice is going to be served. I'm going to come in here. This is going to be done. Like you see on TV, it's going to be processed, and then bam, it's going to happen. So if they're not being processed, then that's part of their healing. It's part of their justice. And I've talked to survivors that say, I think about it, doesn't matter if the person's actually caught and sent to prison, but knowing that my kid didn't even get processed and know that there wasn't even a chance for that to happen is so frustrating. And they really get stuck on that place and kind of focus on that. And we work with them that there's other means to find justice. But knowing that it's not even an opportunity to be done is very frustrating.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join our conversation. Elena, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Elena.
Hello. Thank you. I had heard that San Antonio doesn't have its own forensics unit, and so it has to send the samples to Austin. I was wondering if this is true or if this has changed. And also I was wondering if one of the ladies would please list the facilities that staff the SANE nurses, the sexual assault specialty nurses in the area.
Okay, all right. So, Dina Franks?
Yeah, the facilities here in San Antonio that do the exams for children is the Children's Hospital of San Antonio downtown. And for the ages 13 and up, it is Methodist Specialty and Transplant in the Medical Center area. That's where they house the specially trained sexual assault nurses.
What about the question, who does the testing? Is it done here or in Austin?
Some of them go to the medical examiner's office here, and then some of them do go to Austin. So it's a combination, and I really couldn't speak clearly on how they pick what goes where, but I know that some do go to the ME's office here in San Antonio.
Okay. Serena has called in, and Serena, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I would like to ask a question about the funding from a slightly different direction. Ever since I first heard about this backlog in Harris County, I developed a real heart for being able to help out. I have a master's in counseling and some background in the law. But when I started looking into the requirements to be a SANE examiner, you have to be a registered nurse with advanced training, or you have to have a master's degree. Now, with those salaries being somewhere between $55,000 and $78,000 on average, is there any sort of programs by which you could train someone as, say, a paraprofessional who wouldn't need to have full nursing training at an advanced graduate level, but could still be able to participate in moving some of these things and perhaps at a lower cost?
Okay. Let me turn that question over to Caitlin Sully, the Director of Sexual Assault Research Portfolio and the Director of Strategic Partnerships. Can you help us here?
I'm going to ask Deanna if she knows the answer. I don't quite know that, but I do know that retaining sexual assault nurse examiners and is difficult. I've heard that from community members and across the state. So, Deanna, do you know?
I do. The training is very extensive for a sexual assault nurse, and there's a reason for that. You need to be very qualified and have these abilities to collect evidence and know what you're collecting and how to do it in the right manner. And there is a lack of funding to train nurses. A lot of them pay for it themselves. They do have programs through the OAG's office where they will train them. They're pretty spread out, and it takes a good 2 weeks, and then they have to do clinicals. It's a long process before they're able to even do them on their own. So a way to fund those programs to get more of those nurses trained and to be able to help them would be a great idea. I agree with Serena, but there does need to be more funding because it is a very highly qualified position.
And it's highly qualified because once you get into a courtroom, the evidence chain is frequently the first place that a defense attorney is going to go to try to break down, attack the evidence. He's saying, this is the DNA evidence that matches up to my client, but however, I don't know if this is actually how the DNA got there. We don't know. They're going to attack that.
Right. They do have to testify in court, and that is a big piece of why that training is so important.
Right.
They have to really know what they're doing.
Okay, back to the phone lines with Gail. And Gail, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there, it's Dale. Anyway, I just want to say I'm a rape victim. It was a long time ago, and this issue absolutely infuriates me. It's a crime issue. It should be prosecuted like every other crime issue thoroughly. We've got these legislators up in Austin, many of whom ran on crime enforcement platforms. and Austin's about to pass a $217 billion, now mind you, that's for two-year budget, so they can darn well find the money and get these things taken care of.
All right, Dale, thank you for your call. We appreciate that. We liked hearing from you. Noel Bush Armendiaz, can you respond to that?
Well, I sure can. I appreciate Dale speaking out. I think that that's part of what we need to see happening. And I would say over the last 20 years, we're seeing more victims and survivors being able to come forward. 10 years ago, when we conducted the prevalence study for the state of Texas on sexual assault, 18% of survivors had reported formally to law enforcement. In 2014, 9% had reported formally. And so what we know is that the issue continues to be silenced. And so when we have the ability to come forward more as a community and define this as a social problem, we will do better. So I couldn't agree more with Dale and her perspective on that issue. And I'll just add one more really quick piece is that I think the we're seeing the sea change and being able to define it just in terms of looking at the number of pieces of legislation that are before us on the topic and the number of members of the ledge that are willing to prioritize the issue.
So we spoke to two lawmakers earlier who are seeking solutions, Donna Howard talking about trying to do electronic tracking, also Nieves, who is looking for money to try to get these cases tested. Both these lawmakers are women. Does that have something to do with where the priorities are going to go, Noel? I mean, should people be looking at these as they vote?
Well, it's an interesting issue. It still is a gendered crime, although we are seeing men being able to identify their lived experiences in the prevalence studies. So in 2014, 2.1 million adult men identified their experiences as victims of sexual assault. So, and that was not true 10 years ago. So I think that we are seeing more adult Texan who are men being able to identify as victims. That said, we still know that the vast majority of men who live in the state of Texas are well-meaning, good partners to women, and the vast majority of people who offend in sexual assault are men. And we can hold all that complexity. So men have to be part of the solution.
Sure, they do. But this is a legislative issue right now, trying to find money in the state budget to deal with all the backlog of rape kits that we have in the state of Texas. And the lawmakers that we have right now say they don't have the money, but they're able to find the money for other things like concealed handgun license, reducing the cost for those things. So this is something that we have a representative democracy here, so they feel this is they're representing the views of their voters. How do voters express themselves? No, we want to take care of issues like this.
Well, I'll tell you the you know, I'm a researcher. 65% of Texans told us that they think that sexual assault is a problem in the state of Texas, and that has been consistent. So I will let the members of the legislature do what they want with that issue. It would be great for us to rally around the safety and well-being of our citizenry and put our money where our mouth is.
All right. And Noel Bush Armendiaz, he's the director of the Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Institute at the University of Texas at Austin. Also with us is Caitlin Sully with the Sexual Assault Research Portfolio. And with the new studio, Dina Franks of the Rape Crisis Center here in San Antonio. This is The Source at Texas Public Radio.